Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. I hesitate because the thing's come up on the screen here and says an error was encountered. Please try again. Anyway, it's the dedication service, the Guild dedication service this morning. So members of the Guild will be leading various parts of our worship. But first, the intimations. Tea and coffee after the service. And it's time to share together, and time for a coffee, tea, or a bit of cake or a biscuit, and time to be together, to chat together, be in relationship together. The Guild Week on the 20th of November, we'll have a Songs of Praise. I'd like to welcome anyone who enjoys a good sing at 1:30 on Tuesday 20th. And the free will offerings for next year are now ready for distribution. The elders, please collect them from the vestibule to deliver them. Thank you. The First Stevenson Girls Brigade, our dear church, annual singing. So there's an invite to join them for their Christmas singing Tuesday 27th of November at 7 p.m. and that's in the church hall. Entry is £1, that includes tea, coffee and home baking. Livingston Player, there's still some tickets left for the Panto, Jack and the Beanstalk. Some tickets left Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Tuesday's sold out, but do consider that for a great night. And that's just a reminder. And the Christmas gift service will take place on Sunday the 9th of December. And just when we start to project ahead into the December, I'm going to hold a bereavement service, a service where folks can come just to remember someone they've lost, whether it's their first Christmas that they're going to be on their own, whether it's one of many Christmases they've been on their own, but it's a time just to come together and to reflect together. So that would be at 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 18th of December here in Livingston. And again here on Friday the 30th of November from about 9 o'clock is the Glencairn Primary School service. It's not quite the Christmas service. We're looking at around Advent and looking around St Andrew. Just about forgot which saint. St Andrew. But more importantly, about what it means, what Advent means, to wait on the arrival of Jesus Christ. So I'm on holiday next week from Wednesday. So Scott Cameron will be covering and Margaret Craik will be leading worship here next Sunday. I think that's all the intimations. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Jesus is here.
For giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of the pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
My heart is filled with thankfulness. This may be a new song, but a fairly easy tune. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain. Catherine Burns is going to lead us in our prayers, adoration, confession.
Let us pray. Lord God, we cannot begin to understand how wonderful you are. You have not only shown us a way of life, you are the way of life, the way to God, the way to one another, and the way of life. You are the giver of life, life abundant, life in the Spirit, and life eternal. How can we praise you enough? Made in your image, loved eternally and redeemed, we praise you for the Holy Spirit to encourage us, strengthen us, guide and comfort us. Like Mary, we can say, "My soul is glad because of God my Saviour, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant." We worship, praise, and adore you. Father, help us to confess our sin. Grant us the courage to examine ourselves candidly. Bring to mind the thoughts, words, and deeds of this day, which have caused your Son to flinch with pain. Make us aware of any falseness in us. Help us to uncover the hidden motives which drive us and to recognize the distorted images we have of your love. Have mercy on us. We are weak, often misunderstanding, and failing to listen to your spirit within. We confess all this and our great need of your love. Confident in your commitment to us, we gladly share our frailty with you, our Redeemer, our refuge, and our strength. So, Father, hear us now as we sum up our prayers using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, as we look at our scripture, we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is drawing towards the conclusion of this letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he has just exhorted the Thessalonian Christians regarding their personal conduct and their relations within the community. Now he turns towards more spiritual matters, and Sandy's reading for us.
Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Amen. May God add his blessing. This reading of his word, to him be all glory, honour, and praise. Our thought before worship this morning was, we glorify God by enjoying him, loving him, trusting him, and obeying his will, his commands and law. And from Deuteronomy 11, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. And you know, just a reminder about how we, or a thought about how we actually begin and why we begin to look at this kind of process of how we glorify God. Very much that's the question. That's the thought is the answer to the question. How do we glorify God? How and why? And sometimes I think we look for the kind of the hard bit, the real complicated answer. But we glorify God by doing as he said. And we can believe what he said. And you know, when we start to think about it, it's actually about a response. It's about being in relationship with the Father, and glorifying him as our response, our love response to his love. Not done in a way that says, if I don't, he's going to get me. But done in a way that says, this is how I want to be. This is how I want to be. When he says to us, and walk with me, We remember that he's with us all the time. That time in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they would walk with God in the cool of the evening. I just love that idea. Can you imagine just being able to glorify God by being able to just walk with him, doing as he says, hearing what he's saying, believing him, not because he's going to get us, but because it's the right thing to do. Not out of fear, because he's going to get us, but out of love, because that's the response. And you know, we sometimes think too, when we go off that path and we walk away from him, then his response is going to be one of anger. His response is going to be one of recrimination. His response is going to be one of punishment. But the reality is, yes, he does discipline us because he loves us. And he wants us to be with him. He wants to be able to have us walking with him. So none of this is out of fear. It's all out of love. And ultimately, in that way, he gave his all for us. And so we glorify him by doing as he says, by believing what he says, by following his ways. I'm just going to play a song. I'm about to plug the phone into the sound system. It comes up with 4 clicks, so be ready. There's nothing at the moment we can do to stop that. It'd be helpful if I could find where the connection was. There it is. It will happen. That was 6. Ross said it would be 4. This is actually a children's song. And it's just something really simple to listen to and reflect on how can we glorify God. We see God being glorified is just in people's response to his calls. And when we think today about the Guild Dedication Service, we remember the work of the Guild over many, many years, where people have committed themselves in following a particular way and meeting together and serving together. And later on in the service, I'm just going to go and do this now. You know, the Guild Week is this week. Their strategy for 2018 to 2021 is One Journey, Many Roads. And the theme for this year is Seeking the Way. And the projects, the 6 projects that have been chosen that the Guilds can support are Faith in Young People, the Boys Brigade Scotland, Malawi Fruits Growing the Future, Seema's Project, Free to Live Trust, the Sailor Society, a chaplain for our ports, World Mission Council, Journeying Together, and Crossreach, join up the dots. And maybe that's quite appropriate today, is also Crossreach and Social Care Sunday, where the moderator of the General Assembly highlights some of the work of Crossreach by leading a special church services and by visiting some of the Crossreach services. But the work of the Guild is an ongoing work. It happens in many churches, and I suppose in many ways the Guild also has the reflection of what happens in church, and the membership is declining and ageing. That's a reality. But you know, we're all faced with that same problem. But today is not one to get too down into trying to fix that issue, but actually about remembering the work of the Guild for over the years and for the Guild to come. And I have a prayer of commitment here, and I'm going to invite any of the Guild members who wish to stand. It's up to yourselves. But there is a response, and I would like us all to share that response. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, make us rich in love and fellowship. And we'll say it to it, end up saying it two or three times, so we should get the handle on that. Lord, in your mercy, make us rich in love and fellowship. So any of the Guild who wish to stand, please stand, and we'll pray. Today, Lord God, we light a new candle to celebrate new beginnings. As the light shines out, provide thee a clear way ahead. Give us a new spirit of enthusiasm and determination in the light of your Holy Spirit. We always receive new hope and potential. Let that new hope and potential be released for good in the Guild and in all our lives. Lord, in your mercy, make us rich in love and fellowship. Forgiving and understanding, God, help us to use our energy wisely, to appreciate what we so easily take for granted, to love ourselves imperfect as we are, to love and accept others as they are, to build for the future on the excellence of the past, to be open to every new opportunity, to be forgiving because we know we are forgiven. Lord, in your mercy, make us rich in love and fellowship. Great and glorious God, as we seek to commit our lives anew in service through the Church of Scotland Guild, provide us with your peace, lead us in your light, give us your goodness, grant us your grace, protect us with your power, and lift us in your love. Lord, in your mercy, make us rich in love and fellowship. Almighty God, as sisters and brothers in your church on earth, we seek your blessing on every new adventure. Today we seek a blessing on the Church of Scotland Guild, ready as never before to open hearts and doors to all who seek to affiliate with them in Jesus' name. Grant us graciousness and compassion. Help us to be slow to anger and rich in love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we continue to worship with our offering. Thank you. Just a run through again our prayer points as we approach prayer. And from the Address and Presbytery prayer cycle, Dalry Trinity, the Reverend Martin Thompson, and he's also convener of the Business Committee. As I said earlier, it's Crossreach and Social Care Sunday, and the moderator of the General Assembly will highlight Crossreach by leading special church service and by visiting some of the services during the week. We remember that they've gone through the projects for the Guild, and we remember this is Guild Week. And from Path of Renewal, the congregation at Eyemouth, with the Reverend Andy Harrow and his mentor, the Reverend Mark Foster. Our prayers are offered by Sandra Erskine.
Prayer for others. Almighty God, we thank you for all we see of your own beauty in the world you have created and in people's lives you are recreating day by day. We thank you for the details of love which enrich our lives, even when the going is difficult. And we thank you most particularly for your love to us in Jesus Christ, who gives us purpose and hope today and for the future. Thank you, Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for those who feel they have no need of you, those whose suffering and sorrow are too great for us to share, those who wait and pray in patience, those who agonize over injustice, those who show mercy and compassion, those whose purity and grace inspire others, those who work for peace where no peace seems possible, those whose witness to truth and justice has brought them suffering. Lord, teach us to pray with love and understanding, to try to enter into the real needs that are around us, to believe that through our prayers you heal and bless. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you, but we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy through the power of him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. We stand to sing our hymn for the month. Make me a channel of your peace. Thank you. let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that it'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, as we said in the introduction to the reading, Paul's letter, to the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, has led them through a way of being. It's exhorted them for their conduct, and it brings, as a final point, and it's headed in some translations of Scripture as final advice. He's bringing the whole letter together, and very much as normally the way Paul writes is that at the beginning of the letter he sets out what he's going to speak about, and then he goes into more detail about that, and then he brings it all together with some final advice. And much of that is about bringing all that he said together. It's almost a point of, he's going to tell us what he's going to tell us, he's telling us what he's telling us, and then he's told us what he's told us. Very much that kind of idea. But in these short verses that were read to us by Sandy, he brings together some stuff, summing up the letter, his final advice, and he draws our attention to our responsibilities to leaders, our responsibility to each other, our responsibility to ourselves, and our responsibility to public worship. So he's drawing our attention and drawing the attention of the church at Thessalonica to these responsibilities. And as we look at ourselves as well now, these are our responsibilities, part of our response to our God. So we have a responsibility to our leaders, to each other, to ourselves, and to public worship. And very much for me, when we start thinking, I explained some of this yesterday at the prayer breakfast and to the elders at the joint session conference, what we're looking at here is some of the kingdom values, this responsibility, not in a way of, if we don't do this, he's going to get us. But actually, it's our response to our relationship with him. And the responsibility side of it is very much kingdom. And this kingdom is one of the themes as we go through Scripture. And I'll come back to that near the end, but as we go through Scripture, there's a theme of kingdom. We hear Jesus in Scripture saying, the kingdom is near. Repent, the kingdom is near. We hear him saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. We can hear him saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. As he launches into parables to describe the kingdom. So the kingdom is a theme that goes right through Scripture, but not just New Testament, right through Old Testament as well. We see some of the responses. So, as a theme within Scripture, there's kingdom, responsibility. It's what we do. This part of its theme is what we do. Kingdom, what we do. And here, I'm just going to focus on the bit about rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So rejoice always. This is a condition of mind, an attitude of mind, how we are. Rejoice always, always be joyful. You know, that doesn't mean that all will be well. Doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that we've got to be continually laughing and clapping hands. It doesn't mean that we're in for a life, a good life, without any difficulties. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that in all these times, throughout our life, what we focus on and the thing that gives us the joy, the thing that we can rejoice about, is our salvation by God through Christ Jesus. That's first and foremost. Rejoice always. You know, wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, rejoice, for God has called you. Rejoice, for God has saved you through the life and the death, the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done all that for each one of us. So rejoice. Focus on the salvation. There's a prayer that I use. It's a meditation on St. Patrick's breastplate. And it allows me to focus on, yeah, what's going on, but also to make sure that I try and remember about the salvation. Because, you know, it's easy for life to get on top of us. It's easy for the things of life, the circumstances of life, to actually start to override what we're thinking and who we are. And suddenly God's not that first thought. Sometimes he's not even that second thought. Sometimes he's not even that third thought. But Paul says, rejoice always. So in the midst of trials and tribulations, one of the things that we focus on is the fact that God has saved us. He is our refuge and strength. He is our salvation. He bought our salvation. So rejoice always. With that in mind, that's our attitude, the way we are, our frame of mind, that whatever we come across, we rejoice always. We're always joyful. And then Paul writes, pray continuously. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Prayer is not something that we just sit down in the morning, on the evening, whenever we do our devotional time, or even when we come into the church and we sit down as part of the service and we pray. Prayer is not restricted to that. Prayer is much more than that. But we're not really also expected to walk down the road mumbling and muttering prayers as we go. There's nothing to stop that. And in fact, many times have you seen someone walking down the road and they're busy, you think, talking to themselves, until you realise that they've got earpieces in and their phone's in their pocket and they're actually speaking to someone. But they're walking down the road, they're speaking to someone, and it looks like they're on the road. You know, you could get away with it. You could be walking down through the middle of Glasgow or someplace, busy praying, dear Lord, just look at all these shops. Would you just pray for all these people who don't have money, who are in poverty? Look at these people who are in the street, they're begging. Just pray for them. And nobody would know. They would just think you were on your phone. But maybe this is the time Maybe this is the culture that this praying continuously can feed right into. I remember at times, and you know, I'm going to put my hand up to this, I'm not as good as I was previously about doing that continual prayer. But I remember in headquarters in Dundee, I had a special event on the evening, in an evening, and I was setting things up and I was having to run up and down stairs in headquarters. Now, if I get this right, on each flight of stairs, between each floor, there was something like 20 stairs, 10, two sets of 10 were landing. And there's times when I was running up those stairs, because I could then, and I would be continually praying about this event. Oh dear Lord, just make the speaker, make sure the speaker's here, make sure everything's right. Will you make sure the technology works? Oh Lord, we'll just put this to you, and I would just pray and pray. And I'm quite sure if anyone saw me running up and down the stairs and heard me muttering away to myself, they would have thought, oh, that's him, next for the sick. But it's our focus. Our focus should always be on God. Again, not because he's going to get us if it's not, but because he's the one that's created us, that loves us the most. And that we can pray about all things. And he says, keep on praying. All these things you're involved in, all the things of the day. You know, when you get up in the morning, you think, what day is it? And I think about it, you know, tomorrow's my usually, what day is this? Oh, it's Monday. That means I get to tidy up the study. It's Monday. What have I got on today? I've got this, I've got that. And that's where I start to think about praying for the things that are on. You know, and I'm guaranteed that tomorrow morning's prayer is, well, Lord, Wednesday's holiday. Thank you, Lord. But you know, that's what it's about. It's actually about thinking, Lord, I've got this really difficult meeting. I've got this really difficult meeting coming up. Oh, please, just by your Spirit speak, and can we see how we can fix up this, or we can deal with this? So in all our difficulties and in all our joys, we pray. We pray because God wants to hear you. He loves you and he cares for you and he wants to hear you. He wants to be in that relationship with you. And he wants to hear. He knows all your cares. He knows all your trials and tribulations. He knows all these things, but you know, he wants that communication. Often we say, is a trouble shared, is a trouble shared, is a trouble, whatever it's done. Can't remember. Halved. That makes sense. But you know, he wants all that. He wants us to, and it is that thing, if we tell God in our prayer, you know, it's what he wants, and the Spirit lifts that burden from us. He wants us to put all these things at the foot of the cross. He wants us to deal with all these things. He wants to rejoice with us in all the good things, but he wants to be there and hold us. And it's Jesus that says, take my yoke. It's much lighter than yours. Give me yours. Jesus takes the burdens from us. We lay them at the cross. But this is what praying continuously is about. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. This is about how we are for ourselves, our responsibility for ourselves. And give thanks in all circumstances. Always be thankful. No matter the circumstance you're in, remember to thank God. Again, that sounds so silly. Lord, I'm in a pile of trouble. I've upset so many people. They're all complaining and nipping at me. But Lord, I thank you. That just doesn't sound right. But that's what it is. Lord, I thank you because you're in this situation with me. Lord, I thank you because you're right here. Lord, I thank you because I know that as difficult as this is, I will learn something of you. And we remember the promise that Jesus made. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And you know, that prayer I mentioned, that meditation I mentioned, it starts off by you thinking about Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ encircle me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ within me. But in the Christ behind me, it's about consigning the bad, the hurtful, the shameful to the depths of his mercy. And laying at the foot of his cross the hurt that we cause others and the hurt that others have caused us. And also about remembering all that is good is in his keeping. It's precious to him. And when we're in that situation that we're in, whatever it is, it's to remember that he's there beside us and with you even to the ends of the age. And we can give thanks for all his goodness. This is not just about giving thanks because I'm in a good situation, giving thanks because I'm in a difficult situation. This is actually about giving thanks because God is with me. He's saying, whatever this situation is, God is right there, right beside me, right there, right here. Whatever that is. So we rejoice always. We pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not because God's going to get us if we don't. Because this is about the relationship he wants with us. This is his will for us in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is all about a relationship. And you know, the more we do these things, the more we connect with God. It's our relationship, and this is how we act in our relationship with the Father. And that's that other theme that runs through Scripture, covenant. We look right through. Jesus is the new covenant. But when we look at Old Testament, God has made covenants with his people through the ages. The covenant he made with Abraham. The covenant he made with Joseph. The covenant he made with Noah. But God has made covenants with his people. And that's about relationship. And when we look at the relationship, he has done everything for us in that relationship. And with Jesus Christ, the new covenant, God has done everything for us. You know, when he made the covenant with Abraham, the culture and the way at the time was they would take good animals, slaughter them and cut them in half, and lie them down on the ground, opening their halves. And then to make the covenant, cut the covenant, Abraham walked between the cut animals. This was a covenant being made. This was a sign of the covenant. And Jesus was the way God used to say that that's gone. Jesus died for us. His blood flowed for us. But we don't have to walk about through the two halves of Jesus. That all changed then. But the covenant God made with us is the same one. He gave Jesus Christ, who died, buried, rose again, ascended to be with the Father until he comes again for us, because he loves us. Does everything for us in the covenant. That's the relationship. The kingdom is the things of rejoicing always, praying continuously, giving thanks. That's the relationship, the kingdom, covenant and kingdom. You know, it's talking about our own responsibility and being in that relationship with God the Father through Christ Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a or else, and it's not a he'll get you. It's because he loves us, because he wants to, because he created us, and because he calls us to be with him. And he wants us to rejoice always, for our salvation is complete in him. To pray continuously, to be in that relationship, an active part in the relationship. To give thanks in all circumstances, that he's right there in the circumstance, the situation. That's his will for each one of us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we worship you, we glorify and honour you. Help us to take that responsibility, to be able to rejoice even in the difficult times, to pray continuously, to give thanks, to know this is your will for us in Jesus Christ. So we give you thanks, Lord, that you've given us Jesus, that he is the new covenant, that you have done it all for us to be in a covenant with you. And Lord, we know that our response is not one of fear, but one of love. Father, we thank you. And just as we pray here now, may your Spirit fill each one of us. May he be behind us, before us, beside us. May he encircle us. May he be beneath us, above us, and within us. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Let's worship. God's word be in your heart. May God's word be on your lips. May God's word be in your touch. May God's word direct your feet. On this day and all your days to come, may God's word be the life you live. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.